All right, welcome to the latest edition of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. Excited to be back.
Woo!
Woo! Ric Flair is here with me. Jason Williams is here. He's very excited. How many cups of coffee do you have this morning?
One big, large cup of dark roast ice from Dunkin' Donuts.
Sounds like they might have dropped some espresso plug in there. I like it.
They did.
You're turbo normally, shot. I got to be the energy guy. Look at you.
Have them put a turbo shot in there. They call it turbo shot.
All right. It's the turbo shot edition of That's a Cincinnati.
Woo!
Yeah. We are ready to go. A lot to get to. We're going to talk Kroger today, which I know everyone has an experience. It's like you cannot more connect to Cincinnatians' everyday life than talking about Kroger, what it is, where it's going, where its deficiencies lie, why it's thriving in certain places. So nobody better to do that than to bring in Alex Coolidge, our corporate watchdog, business reporter, Fortune 500 company, beat guy, to come in and talk a little bit. He has a great story up right now on the website, Cincinnati.com, talking about Kroger really actually thriving. It was everywhere. They've been kind of under attack in these grocery store wars, so to speak. And, you know, with Amazon getting in the mix and everyone's trying to cut prices and all of this, and these numbers show that they have really done well in adding to their market share. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the online, the future, there could be robots, right?
Delivering our groceries. Oh, bread and milk.
Self-driving cars get me so mad. I'll probably air some grievances on Kroger pickup, because
we're gonna ask him about the
I've had some many bad experiences.
Just get in your car, drive down there, pick it up, stop being lazy.
I would be happy to do that. That sounds like a great idea if that's how it would go. That's not how it goes. I'm saving that one up for later.
What's wrong with just going to the grocery store, getting a cart, you know, walking around, picking things off the shelf?
That's fine. I'd be happy to do that if they told me that was my option. But when you tell me that you can do this and this is your option, at the last second you say, no, there's kids on spring break, so we're not filling your entire food order. Oh, now you don't have food. That you can't promise something and then pull it back like that over and over and over again. All right.
You're taking over the curmudgeon role on this show.
It ruined my week. It ruined my week about two weeks
ago. Am I rubbing
ago.
Off on you in a negative way?
Yes.
Man.
This is what you do to everyone that you're around a lot. You make them unhappy. You make everyone worse.
Man, it's that bad.
It's like that.
Man, the reality setting in.
Speaking of curmudgeon and making everyone worse, let's talk about the streetcar. look, there's the streetcar czar is here, right? So we've got our man. Look, is where this starts and. I don't know if there's fixing it or what is happening, but it does appear that now with the new streetcar person in place, that there's going to be some attempts at finding a niche for this baby, because there isn't one right now. Hannah Sparling, she's got a story up on, they're going to try a free ridership Saturday.
This coming Saturday.
This
yes.
coming Saturday. As kind of a little test, a little dip in the toe in the water of maybe it's because you have to pay a dollar.
Even catch a live concert on the streetcar if you ride between 11:30 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Streetcar concert? This is just play sad music. This is just like...
Just some, some Annie Lennox.
Yeah.
Not Eurythmics Annie Lennox.
Yeah, Road to Nowhere. Yeah.
Why
I feel so empty inside.
Put the song Why on loop in the streetcar.
Tell me why this thing exists. Come on. Let's
How many times do I have to blah blah blah?
I hate to cut off your singing. However, can a new person coming in with some new ideas and trying new stuff be able to help anything? Is this going to help anything, ideas like this and kicking around stuff? Or is it just seem kind of doomed to be what it is?
It's doomed to be what it is at this point.
Yeah.
But
Why is KC so much better? Kansas City has a 2.2-mile track, and we have a 3.6-mile track, and KC's streetcar is massive. And there's tons of riders. It's like seven times the ridership that the Cincinnati Bell Connector has.
I believe they have a dedicated lane.
Dedicated lane.
Partially dedicated lane. I'm trying to remember. I have not. I used to look at this stuff so closely when I covered transportation.
Right. Dedicated lanes. I have been screaming this since day one. You have to. Don't do it if you're not going to do that. Ah, it makes me so mad. It just sits in traffic.
But I've said this. I've pushed back and said Cincinnati. And I will say this about Kansas City, having used to live in Missouri and spent some time in Kansas City. The streets are much wider there. It's a much sort of more sprawling downtown center city area than downtown Cincinnati is, which is sort of stuck on the little river valley. And we have narrow one-way streets here. And a streetcar in this town was never a good idea. But let's not go back and relitigate and rehash all
are
that.
Are we to believe? Well, let's focus on the future here. I mean, are we to believe? I am not one to believe. And maybe you're listening to this and you're saying, you know, I hate that it costs a dollar. Or I hate that I have to pull my phone out and do the thing, or I have to go to the station. I mean, are we to believe that the dollar is really the reason why people aren't riding it? Or are more people willing? And look, if you're listening to this and you have a strong feeling about it, hit us up, you know, at Paul Leonard Jr. on Twitter, at J. Williams Cincy, you know, and let us know if we're wrong on this. I don't see the dollar. Is that really to believe that that's really why? Or it could be the fact that it won't get you anywhere you want to be with any guarantee of time.
Well, no, you're exactly right, Paul, that it's not the cost that is keeping people from riding it. It's the fact that it's slow. It just goes with traffic in these narrow one-way streets, and it only goes in a loop from downtown up to over the Rhine, Findlay Market, down to the banks, and it takes you forever to get there, and you can drive there or scooter there or, in some cases, potentially walk there.
A golf cart. You've seen those golf carts that go around?
That's right. Red bike.
Any number of other ways to do it. Walk. You can walk in a very, you know, it ain't that much longer.
No. And that's the problem, is that it's slow. It's not reliable. And I don't think it can ever become fully reliable as long as it's running in traffic and doesn't have its own lane. And it's never going to get its own lane. Because you don't have space to give it its own lane in this city. So I think we're stuck with it. But you know, give them credit for trying. At the end of the day, if you know, making it free bumps your numbers up, I guess I don't know what the end game is there. Like, oh, your ridership numbers maybe go up a little bit, but and so then
then you need like sponsors for those free times and stuff to try to make some of the money up too.
Right. But what's the end game so that the streetcar supporters can say, oh, see, the numbers have gone up now and we have better numbers to show the opponents? And I mean, let's face it, anyone objectively looking at this thing can say that this thing, as it is right now, is never going to succeed. I'm not trying to be negative about it. I'm very common sense. I'm very pragmatic about it. And the moment that John Kasich pulled all the state funding in 2011 was doomsday for the streetcar, and that did not allow them to take it up the hill to Uptown and UC, and that really doomed the streetcar. And we have what we have. I think credit them for trying something here. They're gonna, you know, free, and maybe that'll bump people. Will get on it, and they'll think, oh, this is so great.
I'm saying, not optimistic. I wouldn't be optimistic either. I'm saying own it, party bus. I mean, you've got enough of there's pedal wagons, there's party buses, there's all kinds of stuff. Own it like a party bus. Fridays and Saturday nights, you should slam that thing. you know, find some ways to make it, you know, programs based around riding it, get people into taking it around downtown, whatever, because that's really the, you know, we've said this before on here, the conversation about the streetcar always comes back to you have to ride it when you don't have to be somewhere at a specific yes. time. And that is people that are out on the weekends taking their time, having drinks or going to shows or baseball games or Finley Market or whatever. So own that and really try to push that and own that space. And honestly, you can probably even, do you even really need to run it during the day?
Well, that's when it's been most popular is on Friday nights.
Yes.
And then on the weekends, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, mm-hmm. when there are tourists or visitors to downtown for events and festivals and ball games and concerts. And
yeah.
So why not play that up? And I know the true believers they hate that because they see it as they think it's some kind of economic development tool or that it's an actual transportation tool. And you know what? They should be happy with people riding it. And no matter how you get people on there to ride it, if it becomes something that you ride when you're downtown as a tourist, then so be it.
You know what this reminds me of? This goes back to, do you like Apollo 13? You saw that movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love the scene where they're like, okay, the space shuttle is wrecked, right? And they take all the stuff in the room and all these smart people, they lay it all down. We got to find a way to take all this stuff to make this fit into that. Forget what the space shuttle was before. We need to find a way to make this fit into that using only this. And that's where we're at with this thing right now, right? It's, we got to figure out what's the best we can make out of this.
Gotta figure out how to make lemonade.
You know, because right now there's pieces of the space shuttle are going off into space. And we're wondering if, like, you know, Jim Lovell's going to make it back alive. And that's where we're at.
Yes.
So I think that if you want to own the weekend thing and you got to let go of some of your old ideas of coming back with moon rocks, because that ain't what this is right now. Anyway, that's interesting. We'll be watching this. Keep reading Hannah Sparling, who is killing it on the transportation beat right now. And, you know, you've heard her here on TSC in recent weeks, and she'll have more on the new streetcar person trying to come up with some ideas and tinkering and things like that, and, you know, waiting to see what happens next there. So hit her up if
you've
got a question. Don't. All right, we're gonna let's jump forward and hit up the interview segment and bring in our business reporter, Fortune 500 beat guy, corporate watchdog Alex Coolidge, and we'll talk a little bit about Kroger. Our interview time now on That So Cincinnati podcast. And I love trying to check a lot of boxes on different topics so we can kind of hit everybody. And really, what's more Cincinnati than talking about Kroger? I mean, it's a centerpiece of everyone's existence, it seems like. And that means we're going to bring in Alex Coolidge, who our corporate watchdog, business reporter. What's up?
Hey there.
It's good to have you on.
Fortune 500 beat guy.
That's it. Uh-huh. First time, long time.
Right? First time, long time.
I loved your story about the Kroger, the grocery wars, right? This has become a war, I guess.
Oh,
hopefully with less death. You know, but it's weird. Amazon declared this, right?
Yes. Well, it was sort of already going on even before, because Kroger was very effectively competing with Walmart. And then Walmart, like about two and a half years ago, said, you know what? We're going to double down on price cuts. We're going to chop even deeper. So they had sort of opened up this early 2017, they were saying, we're going to get really, really, you know, hard and really start cutting some prices. And this has just sort of been an ongoing thing. Kroger has actually succeeded tremendously. The stock has taken a huge hit in the last couple of years because of a lot of angst over the outcome of the price wars. By the way, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you the big winner in the grocery wars is the customer, because prices are falling.
Yeah,
we actually had food deflation there for a while. That's always kind of a fun thing when you're trying to make ends meet in this economy. But
my grocery bills are still too high, though.
Yeah,
but that's really my problem. Yeah, it's because I have no discipline when I start going through the aisles, or and you get it online and you're just like, oh yeah, I want that again. Mm-hmm. It's trouble. I'm curious about the Amazon Whole Foods ripple effect. I mean, how much is that not known yet? Because I mean, you know, Amazon buys Whole Foods, and it's thought of, okay, this is going to be, they are going to attempt to dominate this world. Mm-hmm. Now that was what, 2016?
In 2017, they were taken over by Amazon. There are a few immediate takeaways from the market share story. Yeah. One of them is, this just kind of reminds you that Whole Foods was kind of a beat up and fading brand when they were taken over by Amazon. Whole Foods was the bomb about 10 years ago. They came onto the scene. They're like, hey, we're going to emphasize healthy and organic food, and it's going to be really kind of high priced.
Right.
And they had this, built this chain for, you know, with 400 stores. Kroger has easily five, six times as many stores.
We have how many stores in Greater Whole Foods in Cincinnati? I know at least one.
I want to say there's one up in Westchester. Okay. I've looked that up. So it was great. But then the big guys, including Kroger, said, hey, this is really a resonant niche for the industry. Let's get into it. And while we're at it, let's make it cheaper.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so a few years go by, and then Whole Foods is like, they were like this one trick pony that's like costs too much. And then all of a sudden, Daddy Morbucks, Jeff Bezos, comes along and says, hey, I want to get into food and use this to drive Prime subscriptions.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on.
You had in your piece yesterday on Cincinnati.com that this price war has actually driven down costs, at least on some items at Whole Foods, by 20%.
Yeah, they're
so, I mean, that's
certain items. Yeah.
Whole Foods being whole priced.
Right. Yeah.
The like joke you said,
is,
I mean, I think
whole paycheck, I think, is also another one of those. I mean, that's one of the, I mean,
I think the ultimate takeaway here for simpletons like myself is that this is a real proof that competition is a good thing.
It's very beneficial to the consumer. This is actually like the third round of cuts by Amazon. And I mean, this is just sort of the reality of the industry. One of the reasons Kroger has been really good at competing against Walmart at the start of the millennium, around late 90s, but especially early 2000s, I mean, well, for example, Kmart made a very ill-fated decision to try and directly compete with Walmart on price.
Rest in peace.
Well, they still exist, but that was the first bankruptcy. That did not go well. Basically, Kmart, to very large fanfare, said, hey, we're still a huge, you know, retail presence, and you know what? We're going to compete with Walmart on price, and here's a list of all the things we're slashing prices on. And then Walmart looks at this and says, oh, okay, we'll play that game. We're cutting prices even deeper. And a price war, a vicious one, ensued. And Kmart just eventually wound up in bankruptcy. The start of this millennium, a lot of professionals in the industry are all fretting because all the big chains are like, oh my God, these guys are going to get killed. They're all going to die. And Kroger kind of did what Target did in general merchandise. Mm-hmm. What they said was, you know what? Not everybody wants to shop at Walmart. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to out Walmart Walmart. We're not going to have the cheapest prices on absolutely everything. We're going to lower our prices low enough and get into the zone we need to be, so that other attributes that we bring to the table, suddenly become the price, you know, the deal maker, basically. Right. So, like, customer service becomes more important, convenience. And when I say customer service, I don't mean just finding, you know, some clerk smiling at you and waving at you. Although it can be a very existential experience going to Walmart when you need to find something and it's you're in a 200,000 square foot ginormous store. I compare shopping to Walmart to like shopping at an airport. It's right. so huge and overwhelming. But Kroger has competed on variety. So, I mean, loads of SKUs on like pickles, on pasta, on salsa. So more variety that different sizes, different qualities, different price points. And, you know, something not just for every customer, but even for the moods you might have, you know, for the customer, that type of thing. So, I mean, that's been a huge driver.
How much of what's going to happen in the future with Kroger's success and with all these places' success is about the online, whether it's delivery to your home or whether it's, you know, Kroger pickup or whatever? And then after you answer that, I'd like to air my grievances about Kroger pickup.
Well, everybody has a few. You know, it's well. The last 2 years, Kroger has also been kind of beaten up as a stock a little bit because it's waging basically a battle on two fronts. It's got the price war thing going on. That's challenging enough. But then on the other side, they're like going, you know, we're not arrogant enough to think that we can keep doing the same thing that we've always been doing without, you know, digital is the future. We need to be there. So they've been dumping tons of money into digital initiatives. Kroger's a very interesting company. They don't they actually brag about how they don't do like turnaround acquisitions. Mm-hmm. So when they took what they like to do, their MO with acquisitions, when they took over Harris Teeter, they are not looking for some beat up chain with a whole bunch of stores and, you know, old fading real estate. What they want is they want a dance partner with a superpower they don't have that they can then replicate and roll out across their chain. So Harris Teeter they took over. I think it's been almost 5 years now. Mm-hmm. The reason they got into Harris Teeter is because they had the early version of Kroger Pickup, formerly known as ClickList, formerly known as I forget what Harris Teeter called it. But basically they said, wait a minute, that's something that we can do, ordering digitally online. They have now, as of last year, deployed that to cover something like 90% of their footprint. You can get that just virtually everywhere. They've got 2,800 stores in 35 states in Washington, D.C., including Harris Teeter. So
here's what they need to do with it, though.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
They need to
– Rodney, are you listening?
They need to take care of it. I mean, they need to staff it. Mm. We made a habit. We go to the Oakley Kroger and do ClickList. It saves tons of time. It's a great concept. But when you put your order in and then they call you and say, yeah, we don't have the staff to do it because the kids are on spring break this week. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't treat it like a redheaded stepchild, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to treat it like the serious part of your business. Like you would you just not have aisles open, mm-hmm. right? Would you not have cashiers? And I feel like the interesting thing is, and I don't know if that's like that everywhere. I do the Hyde Park one and the Oakley one, which are both near my house, but it doesn't feel like it's being treated like the important part of the business, like it seems to be.
Yeah.
And is that something that is coming where they're going to realize that that's something that needs to be a bigger part of their future and maybe start putting more manpower behind it? Is that even discussed, or is that sort of like they're all figuring it out? It's a wild, wild west right now.
Well, they just finished. Hyde Park's had it for a while. Mm-hmm. You might take that up with your store manager. I mean, seriously, they are responsive to consumer complaints. You know, it's not enough to have a bright idea. Mm-hmm. Execution does matter always. They are actually this is also might be symptomatic of a just a broader, very rapid rolling out of multiple initiatives. This is not the only – this is like yesterday's story almost now,
right,
with Kroger Pickup. Mm-hmm. The reason they renamed it Kroger Pickup is because they wanted to make it as literal as possible to avoid confusion, because we might be having robots – showing up at our door,
right,
delivering.
That's the next thing.
They moved. They had a pilot, test pilot in Arizona. They liked the results, they said. They're moving it to a larger area now in Texas. They're discontinuing it in wherever it was.
What exactly is that? So literally a robot will leave Kroger with a package and like take the sidewalks to your house?
I think it actually drives in the street.
We're talking like self-driving cars?
Yes.
This is another tangent where I'm going to be old man on. Everybody has those things. I've told this story before where like one of my grandparents hated cruise control, was scared to death of it. I'm not driving a car with cruise control. It's too scary. And that was like his thing, right? My thing is going to be self-driving cars. I see it coming. I see it's going to be the thing that I am never going to be cool with. I'm never going to be comfortable with. I understand it's probably very safe, but I can't handle that. And so we're going to have robots driving groceries to people.
Yes. If it works out. They're still
right now
testing.
You have delivery, but it's through a third party, right? Like home delivery.
They have widened their they've got basically a relationship with Instacart and some other vendors, but Instacart's the big one that they've rolled out, and they're radically expanding the actual home delivery delivered by actual people.
There we go. Is that every Kroger in America?
That's a little behind Kroger Pickup. I want to say, you know, I don't have the data point in front of me, but the footprint has radically grown. Also, if you're doing delivery, another thing you have to keep in mind is you don't necessarily have to outfit all 2,800 stores to do home delivery. What you do is you have sort of a neighborhood one within a few miles handling a lot of it. So it's not like you have to be really expensive to try and outfit absolutely every store.
Yeah. I mean, if you're sitting at home, it doesn't matter where it's coming from as long as your order gets right. So
exactly.
Let's switch gears. And as we're staying on the Kroger bandwagon, let's talk about the downtown Kroger store coming here in downtown Cincinnati. Can you talk a little bit about the progress of that and when that's going to be done and what that's going to be like?
That's coming along. If you drive by it, you see a lot of the structure is up. The parking deck in the building is operating and taking cars. That though is still a few months off, so there's still things up in the air a little bit with that, like, you know, finishing touches. The broad strokes are already out there. It's going to be a full-blown supermarket, not a marketplace store, not a ginormous mm-hmm. store. But it's going to be a fairly size. It's not going to be a glorified convenience store. It's going to be a real grocery store in downtown. And then they've, again, one of the superpowers from their acquisitions, they took over Roundy's out of Wisconsin. And the reason they liked that, they weren't exactly crazy about the Wisconsin chain that they're still turning around up there. But the thing that they loved about that chain is that they had a really nice urban template for urban stores called Mariano's, which was
in Chicago,
doing really well. And they're basically stealing all those ideas and like deploying those into urban areas. And so the Coryville store actually that's been open for a couple of years now, that borrows heavily from the Mariano's concept. And some of the add-ons on that is just a heavy emphasis on, foodie offerings, that type of thing, but also a lot of grab and go.
Yeah.
So a lot of
makes sense.
Your rotisserie chicken offerings, sort of on steroids, kind of thing like that. I mean, the Mariano's in Chicago had like a guacamole. A custom guacamole stand. I mean, they would make it for you and it would be fresh. And it's sort of a little bit of shopping as theater thing like that. But what they're going to try and do with this downtown store is they're going to have a lot of pre-packaged stuff. Think like sandwiches, and cellophane. But then other higher end, nicer stuff as well, lots of offerings like that. And what they're trying to do is they're going to try and get that downtown worker headed back to, you know, Oakley or
Anderson Township
or just over the Rhine. And also they're going to be, they're going to have a beer and wine bar there. So it's going to be very much to turn it into kind of a downtown destination as well as just a place to pick up your cornflakes. And that's kind of the model that they're trying to embrace. The trick, of course, is the footprint. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't put a ginormous, marketplace in the middle of downtown.
Densely popular. Will this be Kroger's, or is this Kroger's first ground up kind of urban core store, center city downtown type of store?
No, they've got a lot of urban stores.
Yeah, and I know urban's like can be abroad. I know we had the Vine Street.
And trust me, they will split hairs with you on what exactly urban is.
I guess more is this their first sort of downtown center city type of store? In America, from ground up.
If you've seen Mariano's, it's very much a sort of center
city
concept.
But they didn't build that.
They didn't build that. So again, what they're doing is they found a dance partner in acquisition with some talents that they admired and wanted to replicate, and now they're replicating it. So I don't track all their urban developments in other parts of the country, but it's certainly it's a high
new,
profile.
It's a new concept for Kroger.
Yes,
generally, yeah.
Relatively, yes. Yeah. I mean, there was a reason they bought Mariano's, and that was it.
Yeah.
So,
well, Alex, this has all been really good stuff. Again, if you haven't read it, you can go to Cincinnati.com. Story on the grocery store wars and Kroger, I like how you open it with the headline is surprise. And I think the thought is a lot of people didn't know if Kroger would be able to sort of rise amongst all of this competition, but they really have and seem to be. Is it fair to say they're really stronger than ever a little bit in that respect when you consider how tough the competition is coming in when you bring in an Amazon, when you have people really directly attacking you?
I'm glad you're asking me that because, I mean, Amazon hasn't the numbers on the market share that I was looking at. Kroger was consistently winning in a lot of markets. Amazon is not a trivial rival.
No,
I think the takeaway from this is, and they have actually increased some market share in a couple of markets, very notably in New York City, where Kroger is not a competitor. Mm-hmm. Kroger is not in the city of New York, or in the metro area. They don't, but they added considerable, and that is 1,000% the Amazon competitor or customer that they're courting, the New York crowd. But I guess the real takeaway I'd get is that Amazon's really only owned Whole Foods for a little over a year. And also, they might have slightly different plans for Whole Foods. Whole Foods was – they could have taken over a larger supermarket. I mean, there are plenty of beat-up supermarket chains with thousands of – and they could have also made a couple of acquisitions. They did not do that. They want to turn Whole Foods into a digital – basically a house brand for Amazon – but they're also trying to drive those Prime subscriptions too. So it's not necessarily Amazon doesn't want to be a food company. They want to be a technology company that sells a lot of food. And that's a different thing than being a supermarket
retailer. I mean, adding value to a Prime subscription is pretty much their sole purpose.
Yes.
I mean, no matter what level we're talking about. Again, great stuff. Great having you on. We will be back. If you hear from the Oakley Kroger pickup owner,
let him know this,
that
maybe.
I will. I may be resuming my service, but I'm not sure yet. I'm on the fence. I'm waiting for my call.
Great stuff, Alex. Thanks. All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again to Alex Coolidge for joining us on That's Cincinnati. First time, long time. Of course, we had Sherry on a bunch.
Oh, are they related?
I think they are legally by marriage, yes.
I was wondering, the name sounded familiar.
It sounded familiar, yeah. So Alex makes his appearance. Now if we can get their whole family on. Do they have a dog?
They do, Charlie.
Maybe we can get the dog Charlie in the booth Coolidge. With us. I love dogs.
He's a little fluffy, little white little fluffy cotton ball kind of dog.
Yeah.
Real small.
Well, maybe not then. But no, great. I love talk. That's one thing we haven't really talked about on this show. And so I'm excited to really get into that. And Alex does such a great job. And it really the dynamics of where they're going and where they've been and what's happening and what they're fighting. And, you know, the one point he made that I thought is great is the winners in all of this are us. I mean, with all the prices going down because of all of this, you know, I think you end up on the winning side. Although it's still weird. I rarely see anybody shopping for groceries in Target, and I rarely see anybody shopping for clothes in Kroger, but yet all of these stores continue to open and be there. And I wonder, I mean, how long is that going to go on?
You're right about that Target. Like, I never see anybody shopping for groceries. I mean, never. You know,
who's getting bread at Target? Nobody. I'm in Target more than I care to admit.
Yeah.
And I never see anybody over there getting stuff. And I always wonder, like, how long is that going to go on, the we've got everything thing? Because it seems like it doesn't really get used.
Yeah, thanks to Alex. He does a great job. He covers our Fortune 500 companies, Procter & Gamble, Kroger, Macy's. Just does a great job of, I mean, he understands the business side, but he also is able to write about the consumer side of it and relate those to, you know, the everyday folks like yourself, you, not me, but you're an everyday guy.
Yeah, you're not an everyday guy. You're highfalutin and you're in your Wyoming estate.
Yeah. My 2-bedroom Wyoming estate with the busted water faucet.
Oh, where is it?
Nope.
Still, did the duct tape
still
break?
Fine. Still fine.
There it is.
Still sweat beads. Still sweat beads.
The beads are there, though. You haven't gone further.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Good. Good to know. Update also, our faucets still at the office here still stink.
The masses wanted to know that, and they got it.
Just wanted to let you know. All right. Let's move on to our That's a Cincinnati Moment of the Week.
So, Cincinnati.
There it is. I love it. So, I got this one is about... It's a story, but it's based around, busking, right? Cincinnati, they've got the smile cookies and donuts, and they're just a Cincinnati. They're good.
Okay.
A cookie with a smile on it? Well, you don't like them?
No.
What?
They just don't have any flavor.
I don't know. I like that they smile.
Might as well just take a spoonful of sugar and shove it in my mouth.
They had the front of their wrapper to their cookies the other day. Just had the it just had a little thought bubble that said, "I'm smiling because I can see up your nose."
Okay.
On the cookie front of the cookie wrapper. You think that's funny?
Yeah, I really want, I really want to eat something like that.
Ah, come on. Anyway,
just go.
So
go.
I was trying to, and then you were like, sorry. "Buskin stinks." Like, wasn't anticipating that. So they do things like this occasionally. I it's so Cincinnati, and I love that a store like Buskin has events to try to bring people. They had a thing called Sprinkle Fest, I think back in the fall, which is this huge party in their parking lot, and all these people come up, and it's just like free donuts for everybody, and it's
you
a whole
sprinkle,
big thing.
You get to sprinkle the donuts?
Yeah, it's a whole thing with sprinkles, yes. It's very, very intense with that. But they had, with Easter coming up, they had the Easter Bunny inside of the Buskin.
Oh.
So I take my soon-to-be two-year-old daughter up there, and she is, how should I say this? She is afraid of really big, big things that are, not real, like Easter bunnies or like mascots. So they have the Reds have done this program this year where they have Mr. Red Legs on a bench, like life size all over the city.
Those are cool, I think.
There's one close to my house. We're walking with my daughter trying to get over to, we're trying to go to the Rooted Juicery, and she just starts losing it because there's this giant Mr. Red Legs, or a man with a baseball for a head sitting and just starts freaking out because it's huge and he's got a baseball for a head and I'm two and I'm not prepared for that, right?
Yeah.
So this is the stage that we're at. So we go to Buskin. I could not get within 15 feet of this creepy Easter Bunny. And let me just tell
you.
Was
it creepy?
It was creepy.
Okay.
It was, really big and it did this like real creepy wave and she just... And no one was over there, and she just grasps onto me so tight, it just starts freaking out. There was a helper who came over and gave us the cookies, and we left. But I said, you know what? I'm proud of your – those are good instincts. When you see a life-sized, creepy thing like that waving at you, don't go over there.
Get the hell away.
Get the hell away. Hold on to your parent, right? So, but I love that Buskin does that. But we need to bring the creep level down a little bit on the old bunny. Okay, that's just my opinion.
Bring the creep level down and increase the or improve your cookies.
Oh, I don't mind the cookies.
Oh, good for you. Wait, I gotta catch you on something there.
Oh no,
you're talking about me being highfalutin. You want to claim to be an everyman, and yet you're going to Rooted, the Rooted Juicery.
Can I tell you how much my daughter loves their smoothies? It's like an obsession.
They're $15 smoothies.
They're not $15.
They're $10.
They're $10.
I used to have one near where I used to live.
It's a special treat after she goes to the doctor. We do it after doctors. We do it after anything tough you got to go through. We promise a trip to Rooted. We can walk up there, and they have delicious smoothies that she loves. Can I spoil my daughter? Can you just let me do that?
Not only can you do that, I don't care at all. If you went to Rooted 10 times a day, I just like giving you a hard time and antagonizing you.
It's fair.
I don't care how you spend your money. If you want to go to Rooted 10 times a day, go for it. I won't judge you for it. I might make fun of you
just
for entertaining purposes.
That's fine. Hey, I'm grinding out smoothies. I'm grinding out smoothies in the morning like an everyman, though, at my house.
Have you figured out that I'm an antagonist?
You're a lot of things.
I like to antagonize people that I like the most, too.
Yeah.
This is my wife and my mom.
And this is why everyone's life gets worse the more they're around you. Sorry. That's not antagonizing. That's just being a jerk.
That's just being
stupid. Yeah, that wasn't antagonizing. It was just like
hurts my feelings.
Over the top. Yeah, sorry.
I'm telling Burl.
There he is. Oh, I'm so glad that you mentioned this. We have big news. We are going to be doing a live record of That's So Cincinnati podcast in, was it 2 weeks now?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
The Friday of
2 weeks from this Friday.
2 weeks from this Friday, the Friday of Flying Pig weekend. We've talked a lot about things that are so Cincinnati, and there's very few things more Cincinnati than running in this city.
May the 3rd.
Running in this city has become such a huge deal, and so we wanted to sort of latch on to the biggest running event that happens here that brings in thousands upon thousands upon thousands of visitors to this town. And so the Friday night, May 3rd, of the 50 West Mile, which is a run through downtown that ends in Smale Park, we are going to have a booth. And we're going to be set up there doing a record right next to the Skyline.
Do we have roadies?
We're going to be right next to the Skyline, Jason.
Oh.
Yes. Get you a stupid bowl of chili.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so we're going to be right next to the Skyline. So everyone that's standing in line, the millions that stand in line for their free Coney, which is so Cincinnati, by the way.
So Cincinnati.
Yes. We will be there. And we want, if you're there, come see us. Hop on and you can tell us your most Cincinnati moment, what you think is so Cincinnati, or if you just have a question for us that you want us to go into, we're going to compile all that stuff together and have sort of a special pod for you coming out of that. And we're going to, one of my good friends, John Capella, is a director, the course director for the Flying Pig. He's going to talk about the Flying Pig and really everything it entails, you know, to try
looking
to put together
to
a course. It's going to be a really cool event. We're super pumped about it. So if you're going down to the party, which Friday night is really just a big party down Smale Park, come on down, come say hi, tell us your most Cincinnati moments. You know, we can talk about literally anything you want to.
And well, we have a road crew with us to get me beer and Skyline and coffee. And
we're going
to
be near the 50 West booth.
Ooh,
so the 50 West booth and the Skyline booth. I don't know what else you could possibly need.
I mean, this is work, really?
Technically.
Man,
technically, it's
what
work,
a life.
Yes. But I'm excited
about
it.
We have security guards with us, too.
Phil.
Oh, he's the man.
Yeah, he's going to be our producer/bouncer.
Got some guns. Biceps, I'm talking about.
Yeah,
not
real guns. Yeah. We're not going to be packing heat down there. That seems like a lot.
Going to have your Nerf gun with you? That's just bad. I don't know. What am I saying? Let me get to my So Cincinnati moment.
Oh, you got one?
Phil?
Let's go.
So Cincinnati.
This comes from my childhood friend, Luli, who is from my hometown, Gallipolis, and has lived in Columbus most of her adult life, having gone to Ohio State. And her husband, Sean, works for Kroger, and they just got transferred here to Cincinnati after, you know, over, 25, 30 years in Columbus. And they bought a house yesterday, or they closed on a house yesterday in Anderson Township. And I get this text last night at 7:55 p.m. from my friend Lou. And she says, the guy from the title agency running my closing today just casually worked in where he graduated from high school. He has to be pushing 60. Turns out you might be onto something about this Cincinnati obsession with people's high school alma mater.
Is it bad? My first thought was, well, where'd he go? Let's hear it. I'm ready to make judgments.
Welcome to Cincinnati, Sean and Luli.
Yeah.
And yes, get used to that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of That's Cincinnati. Thanks to Alexander Coolidge for joining us. It was good to have him on. And again, we are going to be doing the live pod in a couple of weeks down at the end of the 50 West Mile on Friday night of Flying Pig weekend, May 3rd. So come say hello. Come say hello and tell us your That's So Cincinnati moment, what you think is so Cincinnati. We'd love to come hear from you down there. It'd be a lot of fun. Thanks everybody for listening. We will talk to you next week on TSC. Have a good one.